Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, it's Lean Keys, Real Talk, episode 159. My bad last time. I didn't even know what number episode we were on last week. That's my bad. Short-term memory hasn't been great. Anyways, and that's in the last couple of years, too. I really started forgetting a lot of stuff. But, yes. Actually, last week, I didn't even know what number episode we were on. I think I just guessed. I don't even know what I told y'all. I don't even know what number I said. I just came up with any three-digit number in my head, and I just threw it out there. So, hey, it was in the 100s. I was probably close.
Actually, I just stopped saying.
Actually, you know what? That's not a bad strategy. I think I'm going to have to stop motioning towards Lee's strategy. And I'm just gonna stop mentioning numbers, and I might not even put it on the episode title anymore. Y'all won't even know, cause y'all probably don't care anyways. So it's fine. We don't remember, so it's fine.
We'll just let the people know when we have milestone shows like 200, 300, you know, stuff like that.
I mean, I'll tell you this though. I know episode 200 won't be on this platform. We'll be somewhere else.
We'll be all right. That's all right. I'm down with it.
I mean, I know that might sound a little bit righteous, but hey, that's the truth. I mean, we really think about it. We usually get on once a week. By the time episode 200 comes, we're gonna be well on our way.
Yeah.
Look at me, on my way. But anyways, yeah, go ahead.
Plus, it's not a bad idea to move on to bigger and better. You know, sometimes people say bigger don't always mean better. But, you know, it might just be time to move to a different space, you know. That's all we saying, folks.
Oh, yeah, exactly. No knock to this platform, too. I love Blog Talk Radio. This has been such a fun platform for us to use. You know, this has been a very interesting platform, fun platform. We've been able to do a lot with this and, you know, probably even do more than what we thought we would have did. So definitely appreciative of Blog Talk Radio. We're just going to try to change up the format a little bit and possibly even, you know, try to make it, you know, a bit more interesting for the average listener. You know what I mean? Try to, you know, who knows? Maybe we even get to a point that we even have, who knows? Maybe we get on Twitch. You know what I mean? Maybe we get on Twitch. I don't know. We'll see what happens. You know, maybe we'll have a podcast and it'll come out, you know, end of the week or something like that. You'll get the playback episode, but I don't know. We'll be doing something. But,
what Key's trying to say is short. Is, you know, we'll probably be doing it on. Y'all just stay tuned, and we'll let y'all know what's going on with the show.
Exactly. Lee is our official. You know, Lee gives out the press release for our show. It's ironic. Which is interesting, because he would probably think that'd be on me to put out the press release, being that, you know, I'm the writer and everything. But nah, Lee's in charge of the press because he's a face guy. You know, he's gonna do it working there, and be in the background, you know, doing background things. And you know, hey, that's the team. So. We make it happen. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff. Actually, you know, let's be clear here. There are some unbelievable fights. Man, and I got to ask you this. I got to ask you this right now, right out the gate. What is going on, man? When you really think about this, I'm just going to break this down for you like this, okay? So we're going to have McGregor versus Poirier 2, looks like, for January. This, you know, that's actually kind of the furthest one out. But walking backwards, we're also gonna get Jan and Sterling for the bantamweight title in December. in the co-main event. I think that's going to be – I think it's co-main event to Amanda Nunes is with I forget her name. But Amanda Nunes is fighting on that one. But anyway, yeah, we're getting Yana Sterling. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so we're getting that fight too. So we're getting Nunes' fight. We're getting Yana Sterling. We're getting McGregor Poirier too. And this weekend, we're finally going to get Brian Ortega versus the Korean Zombie. And those two guys been having a lot of back and forth leading up to this fight. And it got canceled like 3-4 times. But we're finally getting a lot of fights that have been in the making for a while. You know, I feel like all those three fights have been in the making for a while. I personally have been calling for McGregor Poirier 2 for a while. A lot of people said that it would never happen, but I always, it was always one I wanted to see. So to me, it's been in the making for a while. They've always kind of been respectful to each other. It hasn't been a back and forth, but there's always been a little bit of something. There's always been, I feel like there's always been a common interest to fight again. They've definitely exchanged social media posts and things like that over the years. Jan and Sterling definitely have, you know, gone back and forth in Twitter wars. I'd say in the past year, they've had a lot of back and forth on Twitter, calling each other out and things like that. And those best two guys in the bantamweight division, I think for the past year, that's kind of clear. And at the same time, you know, Brian Ortega and Zombie been going back and forth for a while too. That's a fight that we've been waiting on for at least a year as well. So it's and we're getting all of them. You know, and we're going to get that one this weekend, and then a couple months we're getting a lot of great fights, and it's just getting crazy. You have even Stephen Thompson might fight that Chimaev, or maybe Chimaev. Now Chimaev wants to fight Nate Diaz. That guy wants to fight everybody, but who knows? I don't know. You got to tell me, man. You got to tell me what's going on here because it's crazy. Everybody wants to fight everybody right now.
Man, actually, this is a good time to be a UFC fan because of what they done pulled off just in the last week, getting their biggest drawback in Conor McGregor, going against, you know, a top five guy in Dustin Poirier. And then we finally get Sterling and Jan, which is Sterling's. We all felt Sterling should have been had a title shot. But being that Moraes got knocked out by my boy, Corey Sandhagen, you know, he got my man Aljamain the title shot. And this Brian Ortega Korean Zombie fight, man, It's been in the works for seeing, like, it's almost like the Tony Ferguson Khabib fight. Like, they'll make it, it'll get canceled. They'll make it, it won't happen. They'll make it, and it won't happen. But this was a good week for UFC fans, man. Great week.
Oh yeah, definitely. Now, you have pretty much a taste of everything. You pretty much get everything. And not to mention, I'm surprised that you didn't say this to me, but it's okay because we're going to say it now. We also get Khabib versus Gaethje next week. So we also have that. So
yeah,
for the Khabib fans,
yes, sir.
What do you say?
I was like, yeah, damn, I can't believe I didn't break that. Neither one of us mentioned that in the intro.
Yeah, so I because it kind of slipped my mind. I knew there was at least one fight that was slipping my mind, but I knew it would come to me. And the crazy thing about that card at the same time is I heard they were trying to get Ferguson to fight Islam because Islam was supposed to fight your boy Dos Anjos, and Dos Anjos pulled out. And I heard that they, Khabib's manager offered, he actually gave Ferguson kind of a good deal. He offered Ferguson, because, you know, Ferguson gets paid well pretty much no matter who he fights. Ferguson makes good money no matter who he fights at this point, because he is a big name. He's a big draw. He sells and he draws in fans pretty much no matter what. his fight versus Justin Gaethje did, I think, like 700,000 pay-per-view buys. So he's getting paid no matter what. And I guess Habib's manager offered Ferguson an extra $100,000 on top of his purse for him to step in. I don't know if to step in or if they want to schedule it in the future, but I think he wanted him to step in to fight Islam on that card, which would be pretty crazy. Let me cue Evan into the call and ask him what he thinks about that. Evan, can you hear me, bro?
How's it going, guys?
What's going on,
Evan? What's up, bro?
Not too much.
So we were just talking about how crazy it is in the UFC right now. Pretty much everybody wants to fight everybody. I was just saying how you have, you know, this weekend we finally get to have Brian Ortega versus Korean Zombie. You know, in December they just announced we're going to get your boy Peter Yan versus Aljamain Sterling for the bantamweight title. We just also found out we're going to get Conor McGregor versus Dustin Poirier 2 in January. And then we also next weekend get Habib versus Justin Gaethje for the lightweight title. And Habib's manager offered Tony Ferguson $100,000 extra on top of obviously his fight purse to step in and fight Islam. So I don't know if – I mean, I don't know if that comes to fruition, but the card is already unbelievable regardless of the fact. But what do you think about that?
I get it's a nice idea from Ali to offer the money to Tony Ferguson to step in. I sadly doubt it'll happen. It's just like I don't even know what if Islam is even ranked. I know rankings don't mean jack anymore. It would be very cool to see that fight, to see, you know, how Tony does against, you know, a wrestler of like that Russian, like, you know, that Russian background. I don't see it happening. I just don't think Ferguson's going to fight on that card.
Yeah, I don't think a short notice fight is the right move for Ferguson right now, especially where he pretty much just had to take a short notice fight versus Gaethje, and he got demolished.
Mm-hmm.
And I do feel like the reason why he got demolished is because he was training for Habib and then had to switch his camp to basically fighting a boxer. And that's not the
Literally.
Fight that he was training for. I think that's what happened. No, I think the whole short notice replacement really threw him off, and I don't really think anything else. I mean, I'm not going to go into it. I'm not going to go into it because I go down these rabbit holes, and I end up, you know, we never make it out, and then, you know, we lose 20 minutes. I'm going to end up going deep into it. Now, I love Tony Ferguson, so I'll just stop right there. But basically what I was saying is everybody wants to fight everybody in the UFC right now. Your boy Chimaev wants to fight Stephen Thompson and Nate Diaz, and Darren Till wants to fight Chimaev after he fights your other boy Hermanson. He said after he beats Hermanson, he wants to fight Chimaev, and he said he's gonna beat Chimaev too. So it's crazy right now. Everybody is fighting everybody because every fight that has been requested is being booked or is officially booked, or everybody wants to fight everybody. So everybody that you might want to see booked is talking about fighting each other. So that is the crazy part in the UFC right now. It is very crazy.
It's actually exciting, man, because if you really look at it, and since the pandemic happened, have we really been this excited about the news coming out of UFC? Possibly not, because we already knew what fights were already going to be made because they was already made and rescheduled or postponed. So with the news coming out this week, it was like, whoa, hold up. I mean, it was just like refreshing to be excited about the UFC and their matchmaking again, because their matchmaking has been, I'm going to say this nicely, their matchmaking has been kind of shoddy here lately and kind of head-scratching on the fights they done made and, you know, the fights that I know the company has to go on and, you know, they're trying to give us live sports. But at the same time, us as fans, like what Evan just said, the rankings should mean something when it comes to booking and making fights. But it just seemed like the UFC that got away from that. And if you look at this week, it might be a reason for us to get excited about the rankings again, because all the guys that are fighting each other are kind of highly ranked or deserving of the fight that they're getting. So it gives you a little bit of hope for the future as far as matchmaking is concerned.
And when you look at it too, it's I keep saying this, but it's so crazy. It is so crazy. You know, because you know I was in a post-fight depression. I was in a post-fight depression, and I lost a lot of intrigue for the UFC for like a good like month, maybe month and a half, like late summer, early fall. I was very not intrigued with the UFC events. It was just very tough, and this is the same rut that you speak of, Lee. This is the same rut that you speak of, in saying that the matchmaking, and I think that you know, we're on key about the same thing. I just reacted to it differently. You were still engaged, but I was in a post-fight depression. It was like pretty much right after Miocic and Cormier 2, it was like shortly after that card, I fell into the post-fight depression, because it was like that car was so enjoyable, and that whole situation was so great that it was like I was on such a high, especially seeing my boy Stipe win. I was on such a high, and then I went down to such a low because I didn't really get to see anything great. But I think I was brought back to life with Adesanya versus Costa. Adesanya brought me back to life. And it was like after Adesanya went on a high again, and now we go hit the UFC having all these chess moves, and it's like all of a sudden we're getting every fight possible, and everybody wants to fight everybody, and it's just unbelievable. It's so great. It's so great to see that. Like you said, it's a great time to be a UFC fan because, hey, you're getting everything right now.
I know that this is kind of off key, but I think it lends to the excitement. And I think UFC should stick with the smaller octagon, man. For some strange reason, the fights in the smaller octagon seem to be more action-packed and exciting than the fights on Fight Island. I mean, I understand that that normally it's the level of competition that you fight and the fighters make fights, but I think that smaller octagon is a difference maker as far as the action, man. And I think if we could get, let's say, Poirier at Conor in the smaller cage, man, that fight, that'll be even more action due to the smaller cage, because basically in the smaller cage, you force the fight. Man, I just wish they would just go to the smaller cage. What you guys think about that?
Kevin, what do you think about the smaller cage?
I love the smaller cage idea. I think the smaller cage has had some really good finishes. And I like the Apex Arena. And honestly, yeah, if you go back and just watch, like if you just go back and watch the fights from where, like it was Fight Island or if it was at the Apex, just, you know, it's got a nice middle ground where, you know, each octagon's getting good fights and good finishes. But could you imagine, if you think about it, if you put it this way, Khamzat Chimaev, his two first fights were in the normal size octagon, on Fight Island, and he ragdolled his opponents. And then he fights in Vegas in the small octagon, and he starches the guy in one punch. What does that tell you?
So in the bigger octagon, his game plan is to basically make it a grappling match for I'm just going off the cuff. In the bigger cage, his game plan changes because he has more room to work with. But in the smaller cage, he can be a little more aggressive when depending on the fighter he's fighting. That's what I see.
That's what I see.
Keys?
So do you think guys have – well, I was just reading this headline about Jessica Andrade, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. Because once I read it, it told me something that I didn't know. So I'm going to talk about that in a minute too. But the smaller cage, you guys talked some good points about the smaller cage. Like you said about the smaller cage forcing us to fight. And Evan, like you said about Jim, kind of observed his game plan change the way that he fought. He was looking to box more. I mean, and we didn't see the fight. There wasn't that long, but he fought a very fast pace, and he just wanted to box, and he looked for the quick knockout. Gerald Mercer, and that's what we saw. He had a first-round finish in that fight in the smaller cage. And like you said, with his previous fights, he was more grappling-based. So those are definitely some good points about the smaller cage, and I like the concept of forcing fighters to fight because, you know, for example, a fight that I feel like I was very disappointed in lately, and Lee, I think we talked about this after the fight, and when I say it, you're going to remember the fight because it hurt my soul, man. It hurt my soul when I watched this fight. I was depressed. I had anxiety. I was in a bad state after watching this fight. It really made me sad. It was Carla Esparza versus Michelle Waterson. Their fight that they had not that long ago, maybe that was a couple months ago at this point. I'm not sure exactly, but that fight wasn't that long. It was during the summer. Esparza versus Waterson was so terrible. That fight was so terrible. I think I came on the show and told you guys how disgusted I was about that fight. If they didn't do anything in that fight, there was absolutely nothing happening. I'd like to look up the stats for that fight right now just to tell you how bogus that fight really was. I don't even think they threw any strikes. I don't even remember any big shots that I saw landed in that fight. I didn't even remember any takedowns. I don't even think there was anything. I don't even remember any leg kicks. I don't even remember saying, ooh, that was a nasty leg kick. Ooh, she's chopping up. I didn't see anything happening in that fight. It just looked like the two of them avoiding each other and absolutely nothingness of a fight. It was three rounds of nothing. It was. I don't even know who won the decision, but it should have been a split draw because neither one of them won the fight. They didn't do anything.
Carla did.
She won the fight?
Yeah,
yep.
I'm not saying she should have. I'm just saying she won.
Yeah,
but
I thought Waterson
really
won
that
fight.
You thought Waterson won?
Yeah, I thought Waterson won. I didn't think Carla won. But that was one of those fights that neither girl wanted to take the lead. Neither one of them wanted to be the lead. Both of them wanted to be the counter. But that's why I love, like, Angela Hill, man. Because Angela Hill goes in there looking to fight, but she can never win on the scorecard. And that drives me crazy because I think she beat Waterson. But Waterson got the decision. And I thought she beat the other girl that she fought. Was it Gedalia? I can't remember who she fought before Waterson, but I thought she won that fight too. But I think women have to come out there to make guys fall in love with women fights. They have to come out there with a reckless abandon, kind of, sort of.
It's like when we watch Amanda Nunes, I tell you now, when she fight, I don't even go to the bathroom. I might have to pee bad as hell, but I sit watch her whole fight because I know I'm going to get something, except when she fought Jermaine Duranemi, but I know why she fought that way because Jermaine, she couldn't get off her back. It was like, are you even going to try to get off your back? But, you know, man, I have to come in and they got to go balls to the wall and to make guys be interested in their fights. If you ever at a bar, watch when women fight someone. How many people go outside to smoke? How many people go to the bar to order a drink? How many people go to the bathroom? It's because women don't. Some of the women fighters don't give you that adrenaline rush. Like I like watching Shevchenko fight. I watch her fights too. She brings the action. She's the champ. You got the champ bringing the action. Yeah, I can go for that. But yeah, that Waterson fight kind of hurt Keys, Evan.
That was a rough one.
Yeah, that fight was terrible. So that, you know, the thing that I wanted to bring up right now is I didn't know Jessica Andrade was fighting. She moved up again, and because she's fighting on this card this weekend, I didn't know, what is she fighting at, bantamweight?
Flyweight.
She's fighting at flyweight? So what?
Yeah, she's fighting.
So how is that her third division? Was she already fought at bantamweight?
Yeah, she fought at bantamweight, then she went to 115, then now she's coming up to 125.
Lee, why do you think she moved? Why do you think she dropped down two divisions and is moving back up one? You think she? You think she? You know, I'm not going to say anything.
Flyweight.
I don't know why she's moving so much. But the thing is I think she's better at 125 than 135 because I think at 125, with her size and her wrestling, she should be able to take smaller girls down and be able to contain them on the mat. Whereas I think at 135, she don't have a power advantage at 135. She really can't take shots at 135, and I don't think she's strong enough to hold down true bantamweights at 135 because you said a true bantamweight is going to weigh in at 135, but by the time they get to the fight, they probably around 140, 142, maybe 143. So maybe 125 gives her a better competitive advantage. But is she fighting down in this fight or is she fighting up?
I don't know that one. Evan, you know?
I'm about to look at it now. What weight class is Andrade fighting in this weekend?
Oh, she's fighting flyweight. So my thoughts is when she was in the UFC, she fought at 135 because there's a fight. I remember she fought at Raquel Pennington. She was just always smaller than them, the rest of those girls. So then she made the jump to fit 115. And at the time she made the jump to 115, they didn't have the flyweight division because they didn't have the flyweight division until they did the Ultimate Fighter for the flyweight title, for the women's title. So this is her first time just getting that opportunity to kind of see what the middle what the middle ground is, because you know she's a solid chick for 115, but too small for 135. So I think 125 makes a lot of sense, and it gives her a fresh face, because you know when you look at her record, you know she lost to Joanna, she lost to Zhang, and she lost to Rose. So she's gonna have to fight her way back to the title, a lot. So flyweight makes sense for her right now.
Did she lose those three fights in a row?
No. She fought Joanna way back at UFC 211 when Stipe fought JDS. But when beat, I'm trying to figure out how she got the fight with Rose. I don't remember how, but she lost to Rose. She beat Rose, then she lost to Zhang. And then I forget who she. I guess she rematched Rose right after that, and then she lost to Rose. I think she's 0-2 in her last two. I think.
Yeah, she beat Rose, lost to Zhang, and then lost to Rose.
Those are her last four fights?
She actually, her last five fights were Tisha Torres, she won, and then Karolina Kowalkiewicz or something like that. She beat her, and then she beat Rose. Then she lost to Zhang. Then she lost to Rose.
Yeah, so 0-2 makes sense.
I wonder when they're gonna announce the Rose and Zhang fight.
Oh, is that a thing? I didn't know that was going down.
It's not official, but that's the fight. That's the only fight. Joanna doesn't deserve the rematch. You know, I understand some people thought she won, but Rose, you know, Rose overcame her one of her losses in that division, and that was against Andrade, and in great form. And that fight sells, and that's the next fight. You give Zhang Rose, and if she beats Rose, then you give her the super fight with Valentina.
I think I would let Joanna get another crack at her if she beats Rose. I would let Joanna get another crack, and then you do the super fight.
But I would like to see Joanna get another win first. I'd like to see Joanna fight in the meantime.
Yeah, I'm quite sure
you
they
can
match
Joanna
up against somebody.
You don't think I would just want to see her show us something. Has she fought?
I don't
think she's fought.
Get a
then.
Win. No, she hasn't fought since then. And the sad part,
that's what I'm saying,
is she's probably not going to fight again until because there's really no one else to fight. And, you know, I don't mean that, like, disrespectfully. But if you look at the rankings of the 115 division, you know, you got Rose, number one. She's going to get the title fight. Jessica's going to 25. Joanna's 3. Carla's 4. Carla got smacked by Joanna and is not winning that fight. Number 5 is Claudia. She got smacked by Joanna twice as well. That's not happening. Nina is 6. She just gave birth. And then number 7 is Michelle. So there's really no one
What happened to Tatiana Suarez?
She is dealing with a neck injury, and chances are she's not coming back.
What division was she in? I thought she was in.
She was 115. She was 115. She beat up Carla Esparza. She submitted Alexa Grasso, and then she won a decision against Nina in her last fight. But she gassed out in that third round. Yeah, it was UFC 239, I think. 235.
She was getting boxed up really bad.
A while ago.
And the third round, she was getting boxed up real bad.
Yeah, so I don't think she's
coming
back.
Once she couldn't take her down, man, that's her weakness. She's not – they said she was a female Khabib, but the difference is that Khabib can bob and weave a little bit.
Like,
he doesn't really get hit. He doesn't really get hit like that. Like, Suarez was getting lit up in there. Once she had to stay on the feet, it was bad. It was quiet for her in there. It was like, man.
The only defense I'll give her is they said that
she needed
lead into that fight with the neck injury.
Lessons,
yeah.
Lee's going to have to start unboxing these fighters with the boxing.
Yeah, man. That's why I don't think Joanna is going to fight, man, because she already beat all them girls, man. And let me see.
I know this gonna sound crazy, fellas, and I know she ain't ranked high enough, but I wouldn't mind seeing Angela Hill in there against Joanna, man. Angela Hill, she isn't scared to go in and fight, man. At least you're going to get your money's worth.
She would definitely take that fight. She would definitely take that fight. I'm not saying Joanna would. I'm saying Angela Hill would fight. She'd fight her tomorrow. She'd fight her on Saturday. They take it on 2 days notice. Angela, buddy.
I just don't think the UFC will make that fight because Angela – because Angela really doesn't win on judges' scorecards. But her fights are exciting. So, yeah, I think Joanna just going to sit back and wait on the winner of Zhang and Rose. I think that's her only move. Because I don't think she fights somebody that's not in the top five. Because she beat almost everybody in the top five. Except Rose and Jane. So I think she's going to be on the shelf for a while.
Now, let me switch real quick. I'm now looking over this UFC 254 card, and I'm really excited, man. I didn't even realize how many fights that I liked on this card. Like, I knew there was fights I liked, but I didn't realize there was this many fights. I really didn't know. Are you guys aware of it? Are you guys aware of this card? Is anybody aware of this card? Can anybody tell me something? You guys want me to name off the fights that are on this card? Because I think we need to reiterate some facts here.
Oh, this is Evan's card. This is his Cannoneer upset. This is the one that he says right, Cannoneer is going to beat Whitaker. Got my boy Walt Harris up there.
Evan, can I just run through this card and tell you guys like how stacked it is? Because this is unbelievable. This is like even the early prelims are stacked. Like, I don't even understand this. I never even seen this before. Like, you don't even see this. Like, even when John Jones fights and you get those stacked cards, John Jones be having like those 10 fight cards where it looks like there's two main cards stacked on top of each other when John Jones fights. You know how they do that? This is better than that. You even have an early prelims that I need to watch because it's like, oh my goodness. So when you really look at it, oh my goodness, there's actually four fights on the early prelims. There's actually four fights. You never see this. I never saw four fights on the early prelims. This is the first time ever I've seen this. So first of all, you're going to get 13 fights. And when you really look at it, I don't know these first two fights. I don't know this Joel Alvarez and Alexander Yakolev. I don't know them. I don't know the Miranda Maverick versus Liana Juha. I don't know those two fights, but I'm still interested. Because after that, we get this, is it Umar Nurmagomedov? Is that Khabib's brother or Khabib's cousin? Khabib's cousin is going to fight Sergey Morozov in a bantamweight bout, so I'm definitely going to have to watch that fight. That's on the early prelims co-main event. And then the main event early prelims, this is a true fight that I love right here. My boy Nathaniel Wood, I love Nathaniel Wood, is fighting another guy that I like, Casey Kenney, who, if you remember, Lee, I wrote an article about Casey Kenney for the Scrap.
Yep, I remember.
That is a fight that I am looking forward to. And then when you go into the prelims, it's like, wow, we already had two banger fights. You have Sam Alvey is opening the prelims. I'm not a huge Sam Alvey fan, but I always like to watch his fights because he's a game fighter. He fights anybody. He's one of those guys. He's just fun to watch. Sam Alvey is fighting Deun Jung. I wonder if this Jung is related to the Korean Zombie. They have the same last name. That's a light heavyweight bout that I'm looking forward to. Then after that, Evan, did you know that your boy Cowboy Oliveira is fighting on this card?
Didn't know that until you said it.
You didn't know that. See, I knew. I had a feeling you didn't know that. I think Lee didn't know that either. Now he's going to have to tune into that Alex Oliveira fight. Alex Oliveira is fighting on the card. I don't know these two dudes. Philip Hawes, I think he might be a contender series guy.
Yes, Philip Hawes, contender series guy, and you should go watch that fight. He's got power.
He's really good.
He is a guy that I think people have heard of him for a while, and they've been wondering, you know, why he hasn't made it to the big stage, and I think it's just been a mental thing. But go watch his contender fight. The dude's got power. Like, I'm very excited to watch him fight.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, I'm going to have to – I mean, they put him in the co-main event of the prelims, so, I mean, I'm going to have to check him out. He's fighting this Jacob Malkoon. I don't know who that is. He doesn't have a picture on the website, but that's
just
fine.
Yeah, it's just a fight for him to get the win.
That's fine. We're going to check that out. In the main event, Stefan Struve is fighting again. I thought he was retired, but turns out he's not. So he's fighting again. And he's fighting Tai Tuivasa, who I didn't even know Tai Tuivasa was signed to the UFC anymore, because I thought I saw that he didn't renew his contract, he left the UFC, or he was released from the UFC. Know that he hadn't got another contract, but he's going to fight Stefan Struve, and definitely going to be a fun fight. Definitely a fun fight. Stefan Struve tied Boston for the main event. That's excellent. I love that heavyweight fight. And I hope, if I'm going to make one request for this fight, Lee, and I think you'll appreciate this, is that there is no low blows. I really hope there's no low blows in this fight, because when Stefan Struve fought the last time, he fought Ben Rothwell, and they allowed like 4 groin kicks. Like, Stefan Struve got kicked in the groin, I think, honestly, 4 times, maybe even more. And it was like, I was disgusted, because, like, I mean, I didn't think that Ben Rothwell was doing it on purpose, but it was just like, man, really? Like, we can't stop this fight, not to say. And then he lost by TKO. Like, I just feel like that's so cheap. Like, when fighters keep getting kicked in the groin, like, I don't know, man. It just seems unfair to me. Like, I don't know. But anyways, that's excellent. And then it keeps going. It keeps going. You have a 6-fight main card. This is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. Lee, do you know who's on this main card?
Yep, I'm looking at it right now.
Lee, you want to walk us through this main card? I think you need to walk us through this main card.
You got Ekalov and Kulaba. Them two don't like each other. I think this is like
fight
number 2
for this
fight. Yeah,
this
I think
another one of those fights we've been waiting for.
Yeah, them two don't like each other. Bad blood. I think in the last fight, maybe a controversial decision or something happened in the fight that made it controversial. And then we got Calvillo versus Murphy. I think this is going to be a good scrap. My early pick in this one is probably Murphy, even though Calvillo is very game. And then we got the Masai fight.
Can I jump in real fast?
Go ahead.
I just want to let you guys know, Calvillo's not actually fighting. She had a drop out. She got COVID.
Okay.
Oh, damn.
And then Masai, we don't know who he's fighting or if he's going to be on the main card until they get him a replacement. But this heavyweight fight is going to be a scrap. I'm pulling for my boy Walt Harris against Volkov. I interviewed Walt Harris in the past. He was definitely a fun interview. And, you know, we all root for him due to the tragedy that he went through. He didn't look good in his first fight back against Alistair. But Alistair can tend to make some fighters look really bad because he can be that skilled at times. And then we got Evans' fight, Robert Whittaker going against Jared Cannonier. So tell us about this one, Evan.
This fight is such a perfect fight for both guys because you have Robert Whittaker, who's clearly – he's a former champion. He looked very good in his comeback fight against Till. You know, we got dropped early, so we had to face that adversity early on. And then, you know, he became an MMA fighter instead of just, you know, striking with Till, got him that decision win. Some people thought it was, you know, not a split. Some people thought, you know, Till could have had that fight as well. I think it was clear for Roberts. But regardless, like I said, you got the former champion of Robert Whittaker. You have undeniably who should have fought Adesanya, Jared Cannonier. He should have fought Adesanya when they did the Romero fight. But, you know, marketing and crap like that is what took that fight from Jared. But here's his opportunity. He gets to fight the former champion. Whittaker gets to fight the upcoming prospect. One of these guys is going to get their shot back at the title, and I'm pulling for Jared. I want Jared. I think he gets it done. I think that heavyweight, light heavyweight, and then middleweight power is just going to come down and absolutely demolish Whittaker.
Okay, and then lastly, we got Khabib versus Gaethje. This fight is definitely going to be a contrast in styles, whereas we all know what Khabib's style is, where he wants to take you down, man-hump you, and maul you at the same time, whereas Gaethje is strictly about the stand-up game. Man, I know that this fight is a ways away, but my gut is telling me Gaethje is going to pull off the upset. I don't know why I feel that way, but I just feel Gaethje going to pull off the upset.
Damn. Why?
No. I don't know, man. It's like a hunch.
Now, let me ask you this. If Gaethje... Now, this is interesting that you say that. If Gaethje were to pull off the upset, and they don't look to book an immediate rematch, which they, who knows? I'm just saying, theoretically. And they didn't look to do an immediate rematch, who would be the contender for Gaethje to defend the belt against?
McDonald.
Who?
The kid they just signed. Ain't his name McDonald? What's his name? What's the stand-in guy? Who's the stand-in guy? Michael Chandler.
He said McDonald. I was like, Rory McDonald? He's going to come down? I actually wouldn't mind that fight. Gaethje versus Rory McDonald. Catchweight. That should be a good fight.
I think it'll be Chandler. I mean, some people, Conor fans will probably be yielding for him to fight, but I think it's going to be Chandler. I think the UFC probably got under the table deal with him, whereas that his first fight will be for the belt, being that he came from Bellator as a champ. So, but it all depends on, man, because the UFC feels that they have to, I don't know, man. I think if Conor beats Poirier, which I think he will, I think they'll most likely make the Conor-Gaethje fight. Although everything, I think that's the way they would go, just to keep, you know, just to keep Conor in that spotlight, whether he deserves it or not.
I mean, because if they didn't do that, I mean, just realistically, like, looking at the rankings, like, honestly, I'm not saying this as like a McGregor fan, cause, like, I really don't care if he fights for the belt or not. Like, it really doesn't matter to me if he fights for the belt at this point. I don't care. But just looking at it from, like, a logistics perspective, looking at the rankings, McGregor's number 5. The only guy that's close to – like the title contention, because Gaethje's at number 1, Poirier's number 2. So let's say theoretically McGregor beats Poirier. Ferguson's number 3. Obviously, they're not going to put Ferguson there because Gaethje demolished Ferguson. There's no way he's there. The only other guy that would be ahead of McGregor is Dan Hooker. Dan Hooker is number four, which I didn't even know that. That's the only guy you could put there. So, and actually, honestly, that I'd be there. I'd be in for that fight though. Gaethje versus Hooker. I know that the UFC might shy away from that because Hooker is not as big of a name, but Gaethje versus Hooker. Y'all, don't that sound like a fun fight, Evan? Gaethje versus Dan Hooker?
No.
Man, you lying to yourself. It's okay.
No, I'm not.
You know
I
that
saw,
would be
I saw Hooker versus Poirier. I saw Hooker versus Poirier.
And that was a and that was a fight of the year contender. I don't understand what you're saying there.
Hooker versus Gaethje could be fun. I think Lee's problem with the Poirier Hooker fight is it was a good fight, but Hooker gassed pretty. I think around about round three, and it was a good fight, but by round three it was kind of just, you know, it wasn't as action packed as, you know, people want to make it out to be. You could say that Hooker versus Felder, I think, was better than that fight.
Yeah, Hooker and Felder was a good fight. Hooker and Poirier, by the third round, Hooker was trying to do all this crazy takedown stuff, and it wasn't working, and he knew he couldn't stand up with Poirier. So what you think going to happen when he fight Gaethje, if he's to fight Gaethje? Gaethje basically is more of a – he's a harder hitter than Poirier, so I think it'll go the same way. And plus, Hooker doesn't have a – he doesn't have a style that I can say that's exciting for fans. That you would be like clamoring and say, damn, I really want to see Hooker fight. I just don't know. But he's ranked number four, though, so you got to give him his respect. So, but at the same time is we don't know what the UFC has planned for Chandler. I think Chandler is the wild card in this whole thing. Do they have an under the table agreement that his first fight will be for the belt since he's coming from Bellator as their champ? So we just don't know.
Okay. Now, with that being said, next weekend's card is unbelievable. And Saturday's card, I'm excited for it too. I don't want to go through the card right now, but that's okay. I have a question. Now, this could go one of two ways. Now, we could take the route, and I could say, okay, so this is a great question for you being here, Evan. Now, I was either going to ask about, do we think that Blachowicz definitely – we definitely have a Jan Blachowicz, Thiago Santos rematch for his first title defense, which I'm sure that we're going to hear about that soon, especially the way Blachowicz kind of dispatched Reyes pretty quick. So I would think he's going to defend his belt in the next, like, 2 or 3 months. But
Santos
has
to beat Glover Teixeira first.
When's that fight?
I think it's later on this year.
November,
yeah, it's like it's before 2020 is up.
Oh wow, I didn't know that was that soon. That was supposed to happen a lot sooner. I thought that was supposed to happen last month.
It was. Yeah,
okay.
It got screwed over.
So. With that, okay, so I've now, this is a great question for you being here, Evan. Now, this is relevant to Saturday because Dana White has come out and said, and I think this, you know, right off the bat, this is blasphemous that he would say this. It only makes sense about like 50%, and the other half I just think is complete bogus. But Dana White has come out and said that the winner of Saturday's main event will be next for the title.
Mm-hmm.
Now, first of all, what are your thoughts on that? And secondly, you know, do you think both guys are, do you think that's valid to say that the winner of that is
And this is the Ortega zombie fight?
Yeah.
Actually, no, I'm going to rephrase that question. No, hold on. I'm going to rephrase that question because that really just sounded like a loaded question right there, and I'm not that kind of guy. So, first of all, what are your thoughts on Dana White saying that, that the winner of the Saturday's main event is the number one contender for the belt? What are your thoughts on that? Two is, with that being said, how do you think either one of those guys matches up against your boy, Alexander Volkanovski? Go.
Number one, I think it makes sense for a number one contender fight. But to be fair, the only thing that bothers me about that being a number one contender fight is if Zombie wins, that makes sense for him to get the title shot. If Ortega wins, it does make sense because if he beats the number two guy or whatever ranking Zombie is, it does make sense for him to get a title shot. I would hate that Ortega would get a title shot after getting one win. But if it's the next guy in line, I guess it makes sense. It makes sense. I like the idea that there's no one else. Zabit and Yair need to fight, so they need to wait. And then number two, I think I'd be more scared for Volkanovski against Ortega than I would be against Zombie. And that probably sounds weird because Zombie's pretty well-rounded. But I just – the grappling and just the short – because Ortega's a pretty sizable guy at 45. And, you know, Volkanovski is one of the shorter gentlemen at the featherweight division. So the grappling might give me some concerns. But I think at the end of the day, Alexander the Great will always be and still.
I think if Korean Zombie was to win, being that he's going to beat the number two guy in Ortega, but Leapfrog is a beat, I think that would be kind of like a hard pill to swallow, but basically, them two would switch places. You would have Korean Zombie and T-City switch places in the rankings. So whoever wins, I don't have a problem with them getting a title shot. With that fight, I'm going to go opposite of Evan. I like Korean Zombie more than I like Ortega in the fight because when we watch Ortega fight Max, not saying that Volkanovski is Max, but the way he don't defend himself, I think Volkanovski probably would piece him up like Max did, unless Ortega has made significant changes in his defensive strategy since the Holloway fight. With that being said, I think the Zombie, being that he has more tools in his toolbox, even though Ortega isn't bad on the mat, you know, he can grapple a little bit, I think Zombie would be a tougher fight because I think Zombie is tougher than Ortega. But in his division, a fight I would want to see, not really Zabit and Yair, I'd rather see Max and Zabit go at it. I want to see Max fight somebody with a well-rounded game like Zabit. Zabit is very different than all the guys Max have beat up in the past. Zabit can do a lot more, whereas Max has just been piecing these guys up and, you know, basically making them surrender while they fight. But Max got great takedown defense too, though. His takedown defense is outstanding. But that's a fight I want to see, Max and Zabit. But, yeah, I don't have a problem with the winner of Zombie and T-City getting a title shot. I don't have a problem with that.
And you know what's another featherweight fight that I would love to see? I'm just looking at the rankings, and it just popped in my head. A lot of these guys I wouldn't mind seeing fighting Awesome.
Calvin
Harris. Man, how'd you know I was going to say that?
Because that's your boy.
Yeah, so I was going to say, I wouldn't mind seeing Calvin fight Yair.
I mean, they 5-6, so that wouldn't be a bad fight.
Yeah. Evan, what would you think about Calvin versus Rodriguez?
You know, I'm fine with that fight. I think that fight makes sense. Personally, and this is my personal opinion, I still think Calvin Kattar versus Max Holloway is the fight to make.
Hey, you don't gotta twist my arm.
I think it makes sense. I think it sells. 5-round fight night. I just feel like it's easy matchmaking right there. Calvin Kattar against anyone is easy matchmaking. The guy is a stud. He's got the look. He's got the talent. The sky's the limit with them, but they're just – I don't know what they're doing with them.
Yeah. The scary thing about Calvin, too, it's so crazy because, like, the guy that cuts my hair, like, is, like, friends with him in real life. And he used to tell me about him when he was unranked. I didn't even really know who he was. He was like, oh, like, you know, you watch UFC, I'm boys with Calvin Kattar. And I was like, who's that? He was like, bro, he's from Mass. Like, I hang out with that guy all the time. And then now it's like, it's crazy. He's number 6, you know, featherweight in the world. And it's like, damn, this guy's epic. But the scary thing about Calvin Kattar is that he figures you out as the fight goes on. And what I really think of is, like, his fight versus Jeremy Stephens. I want to say he finished Jeremy Stephens in the second round. And in the first round, it was like you didn't really know what was going on. Like, you couldn't really tell what he was doing. And it was like, I feel like during the first round, it was what Lee likes to often call the feeling out process that fighters will have in the first round. But Kattar really figured out where the holes were with Stevens and found a way to catch him by the second round. He was able to he got more on the offensive in the second round, and he caught Stevens, and it was like a very calculated finish. You know, it was almost like he was fighting through the matrix, you know what I mean, in the first round. And you can't really see where the fight's going until it happens, but I love that fight. Holloway versus Calvin, I love that fight. You don't gotta convince me.
But I'm thinking that Max's next fight won't be at 145. I'm thinking his next fight gonna be at 155, man. I think he moves up, man. I mean, he's not gonna get another title shot against Volkanovski. Is he going to be a gateway fighter at 145? Basically, he'll be a gateway fighter unless somebody beats Volkanovski. And depending on the rankings, that don't mean he's automatically going to get a title shot at the person that beat Volkanovski. So I think he moves up, man. I think he moves up to 155, man.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely wouldn't mind. There's a lot of guys at 155 I wouldn't mind seeing Holloway against. The only thing about it is that I just question the difference in power. I question the difference in power for him to move up to 155, because when he fought Poirier, I feel like that was such a good fight. But at the same time, I feel like it was visible that his power wasn't the same at 155. His shots, like, it didn't seem to be hurting Poirier the way it would hurt these guys at featherweight. And in the reverse with Poirier, I feel like Poirier's power was hurting Max more than what he's used to with, you know, the shots that these guys may land on him at 145. So I think that would be a big factor in that. I could definitely see him moving up for his next one. But I just think that is going to be a factor in against anyone he fights at 155.
But I think one thing, Keys, you got to take into consideration too, is that
Max really wasn't at full strength against Poirier because he took the fight under short notice. He came in and he had to lose, what, like 15 pounds and, what, like a week. So I think with a full training camp and him getting his body where he needs for that, I think he would look a little better at 155. I don't think we can really gauge his performance against Poirier as a measuring stick for what he can do at 155.
That's fair. That's definitely fair. Definitely fair to say. But yeah, we could go on for days. You know, we definitely hit A to Z tonight. This was a great show. Evan, thanks for coming on, bro. I appreciate you always coming. You know, I appreciate you always supporting and coming on the show.
Hey, hold on. We got to climb predictions for the main event Saturday.
Oh yeah. Okay. I didn't know you wanted to do predictions. Let's do predictions.
All right, just for the main event, who you got, Evan?
I'm going to go with the zombie. I think, you know, the relative activeness that he's been allowed and, like, the over a year layoff for Ortega, you know, I know some people don't believe in ring rust, but, you know, to some extent, and, you know, he hasn't even got his foot in the water after getting, you know, beat down by Max Holloway, so we'll see what happens. TKO.
All right. Being zombie by TKO. Yeah, I mean, I want to go with zombie too. You know, I definitely want to go with zombie. It's definitely hard for me to pick Ortega, which how bad. I mean, the last time I saw him, he just got brutalized so bad by Holloway. It's tough to even picture him having any success in the octagon. It's been such a long time since I've seen him have success. And a guy like Zombie, like the pace that he fights at is just so intense. I mean, it's not like, I mean, the last time I remember Ortega having success in the octagon was when he fought Cub Swanson, and he caught him with like that nasty, I don't know what it was. He caught him with a nasty submission, like off the cage. It was a very, it almost looked like a standing Darce choke. I don't know what they call that, but it was nasty. And he's definitely, you know, it's tough because if the fight were to go that way, I could definitely see Ortega, you know, I could see him submitting Zombie. But at the same time, I could easily see the 2 years getting to him and Ortega just getting dominated. But I don't know. I think I'm going to – I don't know, man. This is tough. Lee, you got to help me with this.
I'm going with Zombie, man. I'm going with Zombie. It's easy for me. I'm going with what Evan said. I think T-City being out the game for almost seems like forever and a day. Well, he lasts for December 8th, 2018, and we are in October 2020. That's almost 2 years. So I'm going with Zombie, man. I think Zombie wins our fourth round KO. I think T-City probably comes out and be very game in the early rounds. But I think the deeper the fight goes, the more he starts to get pounded on, and Zombie finishes him in the fourth round.
All right. I'm going to go with Ortega. I think Ortega is going to win by submission. And probably the second round. And I'm mainly going there just to be the odd man out because you both pick Zombie. If it had gone the other way, maybe I wouldn't. I'll be rooting for Zombie, but I think Ortega, I'm going to be the odd man out here. I'll go with Ortega. I'm okay. And I'm okay with it if I'm wrong. But, hey, I think there's still some life there. I got faith. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes on Saturday. But, yeah, anyways, that's the closing point. Those two guys got Zombie by KO, TKO. and I got Ortega by early couple of rounds, you know, submission. And that's it. That's a wrap. That's everything. We covered, you know, pretty much A to Z tonight. Like I said, Evan, I appreciate you calling in. It was a great show. I'm glad we got to get on. You know, back to back weeks, we've been very active. You know, Lee's been. We've even had, you know, other segments that have been going down. Lee's been having his running his fantasy football league shows. So that's been happening, you know, simultaneously. So that's really dope. I'm glad to see us putting out more content. You know what I mean? More consistently. So we pretty much been having at that rate multiple shows a week. But I'm but you know, in either way, I'm glad to just see us get on back to back weeks. You know, with this segment. So I'm happy with that, and I'm happy with this show tonight. You know, if for anybody listening, thank you for listening. And everybody have a, you know, great weekend. Tomorrow's Friday. Stay blessed. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. And wash your hands. I'm out of here. Lee, you can close it.
All right, man. Like Keith said, you know, next week we'll definitely be on to preview UFC 254. You know, we definitely got to talk about that because that's a big card that's happening next week. Hopefully by then, Masvidal will have a fight, you know, lined up for him. Yeah, tomorrow night is my fantasy football show. Tomorrow at 6:30, Three Bros Fantasy Football Show. But it's always fun, man. It's always fun to talk about UFC, especially this week with so much good news coming out and so many announcements coming out from the UFC. And like I said earlier, it was just an exciting week to be a UFC fan. They brought that excitement back to us. And as a diehard man, I was very amped up and very happy this week. With that being said, everybody have a good weekend. Be safe. Wash your hands. Live, love, laugh. Live your life to the fullest. Tell somebody you love them and have one good laugh every day. Everybody take care. Be safe and take care of each other. Peace.